I like it when they sing in German, don't you?
Yeah.
That's right. They can't do that, but they can. And that's the, like my friend says, that's the beauty part of it. And then sing and sing and sing to the Lord and bless all of them. Oh my. Well, that's what's burning in our soul. It's the fire of heavenly love. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that in us. That's such a wonderful ministry. I suppose you could preach literally for years, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights and other nights along the way, on the many ministries of the Holy Spirit. They're so vast in numbers, and His ministry is so great to us that He can manifest Himself to us any way He wants to. It just as He deems best, what He thinks is best for us. And how wonderful to know that He makes this great word burn in our hearts. It's like the miracle of manna, isn't it? Every day there was fresh manna, and it wrapped up in it was all the good things that needed to be there, that would strengthen and sustain them in the wilderness journeys, and it would always come faithfully. And that's what happens when we open the wonderful words of life. It has this powerful effect upon us. Sometimes it's guidance. Sometimes it's assurance how much the Lord loves us. And you can just let your mind go when you think about all the different ways that the Holy Spirit makes Himself real to us and then makes the Word live and come alive in our hearts. So we want to pick up again this morning on how the Holy Spirit teaches us. Because in those chapters 14, 15, and 16, we have Jesus teaching on what the Holy Spirit will someday do for the disciples and for all believers. It's good to remember that these words weren't just spoken on behalf or for the help of the disciples. When they became as apostles of His resurrection and His ascension, and we refer to them no longer as disciples but apostles sent forth by the Holy Spirit, we know that this passage of Scripture that was given to the disciples in the upper room, they pass it on to us, to all believers. Becomes our possession. It's like, I didn't count how many verses are in each of those chapters, but it's like 60 promises all wrapped up into one, and it went to the disciples, and they turn around and they pass it on to us. Say to us, this is for you. And you can claim this. I like promises that are for me, don't you? Well, maybe you don't like them as much for me as you like them for yourself. And you like them more. But I love those promises that the Lord makes real to me, and I embrace them to myself and take them. But these are promises that are for everyone, and Pastor just said it. It's the great word, whosoever will, whosoever will. It's not only partaking of the waters of life, or drinking at the springs of living water, or feasting upon the words of Christ, the bread of life, who is the bread of life and the water of life. It's partaking ourselves of these promises and making them our own. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that when He makes the Scriptures real. So we have in these three chapters so many different words that are given and so many different thoughts that are conveyed, and then so many different promises. And it's Jesus says again and again, he shall. And you find that little two-word phrase again and again in this, in these chapters. And he says it's a certainty. There's no question about whether it will happen or not. It will happen. It has to happen. It has to happen because he said so. Can't be anything else. So here are promises. Promises that you've had and claimed, and that we're going to claim again. And I'm going to ask you in the course of our little Bible lesson this morning to help me, because I want you to start thinking about any promise or any word that is that the Lord has brought to your heart. I want you to be lengthy about it, but any promise that the Lord has made real to you, or maybe even a promise that you're claiming now, that the Lord has impressed upon your heart to lay hold of, has given it to you as a promise, and has declared to you that you need to reach out and take it to yourself and claim it. And maybe it's already been fulfilled, or maybe it's in the process of being fulfilled, but you're going to lay hold of it, or you have laid hold of it, and it has become a great promise to you. And once in a while, as you think about it, it makes your heart burn. It warms your heart. It becomes a burning in your soul. That's what happens, is God's word burns in us, as the writer said. And I'm sure that was a revelation, an illumination on the part of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gave to the person who wrote that song. Somewhere, in some set of circumstances, he reached out, or she reached out, and looked upon the scripture and found that and felt the Holy Spirit speaking. And all of a sudden, there came faith to embrace, to lay hold of it, to make it personal, and to trust God to bring that into fulfillment in their life. That's what the promises of God are for, is we're to lay hold upon them. Writer of Hebrews tells us, again, laying hold upon these things. And in so many other ways, when you move the adjectives and adverbs around, the nouns and pronouns, and you look at it, and it's like almost the same promise, but it's couched in different words. And the Holy Spirit or the Lord Jesus, maybe it's his words, or maybe it's Paul or Peter or John, and all of a sudden it comes back, and you look at it, and then you can think of a similar verse, and it's just in different words, but it's kind of reaffirming. It's putting line upon line, as Isaiah wrote, and precept upon precept. Here a little bit, there a little bit. Promises keep coming together, and they become part and parcel of our lives. And you've had some of them in your heart. So while I'm preaching, just think about it for a moment. Now, I won't you go real long, just because we'll give as many people an opportunity as to just say, well, this verse over here, this the Lord made this real to me, and I embraced it. And we're going to do that. So I just wanted to give you a little warning so you can help me preach. You say, someone ought to help him preach today. So you be one of those folks that can help me do that. In the 26th verse of the 14th chapter, and the Lord Jesus is in the midst of his teaching the disciples. These are our last moments together. It's like last words. They aren't the last words that he utters, but they are part of his last teachings. And the teaching unfolds so beautifully. And he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So you notice two things that are said in that verse. He's going to teach them. The Holy Spirit is going to come and teach them all things. And he's going to bring to remembrance. You know, that was the verse that I was claiming when I couldn't remember my sermon. And I was saying, "Oh God, you said you'd bring it to our remembrance." And I'd say, "Where is my rememberer?" That remembrance isn't working today. And, you know, we experience that all our lives. Something that we were sure we wouldn't forget. And in this passage, he's talking about the time when he's gone to heaven. And he said, "I'm not going to be with you." And you have to remember that up to this point in the 25th and 26th verses, he's already given all this wonderful teaching on "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions." And he talks about heaven. And he's going to end up, in this case, 24, 25 verses later, saying, "The Holy Spirit's going to bring this back to you. It's going to come to you when you need it." And there are so many times when we need. You know, how many times have we been with friends who lost a loved one? And immediately the Holy Spirit brings to our minds, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." No, it's like those words, "If it were not so, what? I've told you." Yeah, that's the only time Jesus ever said that, as it's recorded in Scripture. Can't find it anywhere else. He never said it any other way. He just said, "If this were not true, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't share that with you if this wasn't a truth." And the Holy Spirit takes a truth like that and brings it back to us. You say, "Well, I memorized it," but it's still the Holy Spirit that quickens your memory at the right moment. Because it's like having a word in season that Paul speaks about. Having some word to help someone. People will say to you, and you know, there are times when people will say to you, when you listen to them, and maybe just say, oh, really? And you listen to them for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then they'll say, "Oh, thank you so much. You've helped me." And you haven't said anything except, oh, really? And you've been listening to them, and maybe you did just say one or two things. And they go away having had the opportunity to express themselves and share something. And the fact that you were interested and took interest and listened carefully and maybe said some word, and it was a word in season. Sometimes there's such wonderful direction given. So when Jesus is talking in the 26th verse of this chapter, he says that Holy Spirit is going to come to us. And he's speaking to us tonight, today, but he spoke to his disciples that night in the upper room. And then everything that continues on from verse 1 of chapter 14, his discussion with Philip. Before that, he reveals those truths and he says, "Oh, by the way, I'm the way and the truth and the life. That's another little lump of sugar that he passes along and says, you know, just kind of suck on that and mull it over in your mind and think about that. You know, you just a true word like that comes to you and the Holy Spirit begins to elaborate on it in your mind and in your thoughts. This is the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. He's going to teach you all things. And there was no way that they could comprehend in those next hours all the things that would happen. Because, you know, when Jesus talked about his going to the cross, at least three or four times he spoke about it when he was walking and teaching with his disciples and ministering to them. And in none of those occasions is there any recognition on their parts that they truly understand what's going to take place. And they're going to be baffled and befuddled by his being taken away and the scourging and the suffering and the death on the cross. And eventually all of the resurrection and the ascension is going to take place and the Holy Spirit comes. And in those moments, then now the Holy Spirit begins to put these things together. And it's like a giant puzzle. I don't know if you make puzzles, but you know, once in a while when you're walking through a store and they're selling puzzles, and the thing that always gets me is when it says 1,000 pieces. And I say, oh, 1,000 pieces? And I want to sit here and look at that thing and just kind of go glassy-eyed, trying to find a piece that's going to fit there. The disciples were putting things together, and it was the Holy Spirit that began to put Jesus' words, not all promises, but things that he said, and how he said them, and at the time in which he said it. And those things were going to come back to their remembrance. He was going to bring that to them, and at the same time, and the teaching, remembering ministry of the Holy Spirit would just be interwoven on and put together in order to meet the need of the person, and in this case, the disciples, so that they could understand. For they, you know, the New Testament had to be written, and it was going to be written by these men. And Jesus said, there's still some things I'd like to tell you, but you can't receive them. How many know that the Lord gives you things and speaks to you in scriptures in ways that he couldn't speak to you when you were first a Christian? And he began to give you things, and you'd read scriptures and you'd say, I wonder what that means. And it wasn't that it was so confusing. It was, in many cases, because you weren't mature enough to receive that particular truth. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like Bible reading, you know. You wherever you start reading, whether you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation or you just pick and choose, when you're reading through, all of a sudden, you come to a part that's difficult to handle and you say, wonder what that means, but you just kind of put it aside and keep reading, and maybe 2 or 3 days or 4 days later or maybe longer than that, and all of a sudden you say, oh, now I know what that other verse means. And one part of Scripture sheds light upon another part, and the author of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, makes that scripture come alive in your heart in understanding and in comprehension and in what it means to you. Sometimes I've had people say to me, you know, when there's a message of tongues or interpretation or a message of prophetic word from the Lord, what should I do about it? Why do these things come? Well, the Apostle Paul gives instruction to us to say that we're to sit by and judge. It isn't making a judgment on whether it was good or whether it was eloquent or whether it was high and lofty or whether the person kind of just got along brokenly and disjointedly and it wasn't maybe what you thought it should have been. I can remember when we were in Bible school, there were some young men and some young men, women who could respond in interpretation or in prophetic word that was so eloquent. And I thought, oh, man, well, that was amazing, you know. But we don't sit to listen to that. When we sit by and judge, we say, you know, what was God saying to me today? How can I apply that special word to my heart? Is it for today? Is it for tomorrow? Or is it in the future? Was it given in a spirit of love? Did it glorify God? Or was it a person kind of calling attention to themselves? You feel the spirit of the person. And we're called not in the sense to be critical or judgmental of them, but there are things that we ask ourselves the question, how is God speaking to me? And that's one of the things that you do when you pick up the Word of God and you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wonderful things in thy law. And you say, Lord, in my devotions today, what do you want to say to me? What is it that you want to tell me? What is it that I need today? And in that moment, you're opening yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give you comprehension and the ability to lay hold of and understand that particular passage of Scripture and why it's inserted in between other passages of verse and how it is in relation to the context of whatever else the Lord is saying. And you make a judgment, and then you also say, now, Lord, what are you saying to me? That's the great thing about our devotions. In time when we have that special word, it's like I told you the other day about Samuel Chadwick. He'd always say in that college to those young students, what did the Lord say to you today? What did he say? You know, and they were always afraid that he'd ask them, so they would ask him first and say, what'd the Lord say to you, Brother Chadwick? And then he would get lost in his subject, and maybe the breakfast bell would ring, and everybody would go eat, and they'd say, made it through, I got to be sure and get something tomorrow morning in case I meet him in the hall, you know. And that was, and he'd get a word from the Lord. And God always has a word for us. He doesn't say, sorry, I don't, I'm not talking today. You know, because friends, that goes through your mind. If yesterday wasn't a good day, it's easy to live in your feelings and say, I don't feel anything as I read. Maybe the Lord isn't talking to me today. He will talk to you. He will always talk to you. And he will always teach you. And he will always bring things to your remembrance. That's his ministry. Because he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. All includes everything. And Jesus says to us that these are ministries, and he reduces it to such simplicity that he just says it'll be teaching. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher. That's one of his offices. And he will bring to your remembrance these truths. So, you know, when you read sometime maybe in these next hours today or tomorrow or Saturday, read chapter 14 and 15 and 16 And look at the things that Jesus left along the way. You know, what we have in the Word of God is not everything Jesus said. And we know that. But think of all the things that were said beside that. And his little teaching to Philip about, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And then, he that believeth on the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these will ye do. You know, that's something to swallow, to think that Jesus said we would do greater works. I don't even want to get into that. But you try and get your arms around a verse like that, boggles your mind. And yet the Holy Spirit says these things will happen, and he'll make them happen. And then he begins to talk about the Comforter. And he says, you know, those commandments that I've given you, the Lord is going to bring commandments back to you. And if you love me, you're going to keep those commandments. So God gives us the enablement to remember commands. And, you know, then when you go on to the rest of the 14th chapter and even into the 15th chapter, when he begins teaching on the vine and the true vine, and he's giving them such beautiful teaching. But you know, it's like hearing someone preach. You don't always, like I didn't always remember what I preached. But truths come. In this case, I wonder, you know, how many times after the Holy Spirit came to the disciples that they said maybe among themselves, just as the two on the road to Emmaus were talking among themselves, they said, you know, I was thinking the other day about what Jesus said about the true vine. Do you remember that, Peter? Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't that, I'm the vine and you're the branches. What else did he say? And they could recount it together. And whether it was with others or by themselves, they would slowly but surely begin picking up piece by piece and truth by truth, and the truth would begin to just come into their hearts. And of course, the thing that happened was it warmed their hearts. It's like what we say to each other, even when we're parting or when we're apart from each other, and we say things. Lois, his oldest brother John, lives in Milwaukee, and he's in assisted living. And we call John every night and talk to him on the phone, because his boys are scattered and busy, and his wife just went to be with the Lord back in the end of February. There were a lot of changes in his life. He had to get out of his home, he had to give up his car, had to give up driving, simply because he was becoming somewhat forgetful and he needed assistance in living. And so we talked to him and we rehearsed the day, and she talked to him and I talked to him. And you know, when we're ready to conclude, well, I always pray for him, and we pray together, and he covenants to pray for us here at the camp, you know. And Lois and I don't know whether he remembers to do that, but, you know, because things come and go. And, you know, all of a sudden, he's as sharp as can be, and then sometimes he'll say, well, where are you? Well, we're at the camp. Oh, yeah, you're at the camp, you know. Did you have a good meal today? Yeah, but I don't know what it was. And, you know, those moments that come. But when we pray together, he gets sharp. It's just the Spirit of God working in a special way, and something so familiar as prayer. And I say to him, "Nah, we're gonna call you tomorrow night." Good, yeah. He'll say, "Let's keep in touch," you know. And so we always call him, and then we say, "I love you," and he says, "I love you too," you know. And he remembers that. And you know, that's what we remember about our friends. People say things to us that we remember, that are brought to our minds, in the sense that we can recollect something, and the moment we recollect what that person said or promised, becomes a truth that warms our hearts and brings such encouragement and assurance and satisfaction. And when you're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He is called the Comforter, and what He says brings comfort. And the action and the ministries of the Holy Spirit to us as individuals become words of comfort and words of strength and words of assurance, because He brings them to our mind, and they produce in us this all manner of strength to us. It keeps us going. It keeps us motivated. It moves us in the right direction. And, you know, I was just looking at these verses before church this morning and thinking of all the separate little truths. You could just fill a page with all the things that Jesus said. And I thought, you know, this is the only, in the Gospel of John, it's the only one where He has this strong teaching. And there's so many things, and you know, it would be like having listened to it and then having to be tested. How much of it do you remember? Well, how much, you know, it all swims. But the Holy Spirit comes and says, now I'm going to take that, and I'm going to bring that back to you. And it's going to be called to your remembrance. And of course, He's going to teach, and it will be beyond what they had learned from the words of Jesus. Because Jesus said He's going to take the things of mine, things that pertain to my love, my purpose, my goals, everything about me as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, as the Savior of the world, as the healer, the baptizer, the sanctifier, the coming King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, every office or position or place, status in life that pertains to Jesus, He's going to teach Jesus to the disciples. And he teaches Jesus to us. And it's absolutely amazing when people get together and in Bible study, whether it's in Bible groups or home groups or prayer groups, people take time and say, what does that verse mean to you? And you begin to open up what you feel you know about that verse or that passage. And then someone will say something else. And then someone else will say something. And it'll all be different, and yet it'll all dovetail together. But it was a personal word that the Lord gives to each one and says, this is what I want to give this to you today. This is for you. This is to strengthen you, or this is to guide you. And that's the word we embrace. And it's called by any theologian or Bible expositor, the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. We've sung it, I think, about three times. Holy Ghost, with light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. That's such a wonderful song. And we're not going to sing it. I'm just saying to you that it embodies in it. It epitomizes one of the many ministries of the Holy Spirit, as light, casting light upon spiritual truth. Because as Paul says, the natural man can't understand it. You can understand Hebrew and Greek and other, what we might call biblical languages or other languages. You can have all kinds of teaching, but there is nothing that can transcend the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And He is our personal teacher. And He doesn't teach us all at once. It doesn't happen like today or tomorrow or next week or next year. As long as you live, you will have that ministry of the Holy Spirit who will be teaching you all things. Jesus says that I've given unto you, and I want you to observe and to keep them and to obey them and to walk in the light of them. And when you think that you've had maybe all the light that you can handle on one verse, God will still give you more light. George Mueller, I was trying to think of his name, George Mueller, who had the great, he had a number of orphanages that he had for children. But he was a great man of God and walked with God and was a great man of faith. He's known for that because he had 2,000 children in the orphanages that he had, and he lived by faith, and the orphanages were run by faith. That is, they didn't print magazines or send out mailings and say, we need furniture, or we need money, or we need bricks, or we need books, or we need food, or we need. And he didn't criticize anybody else. Spurgeon had an orphanage as well. But he would tell when there were needs. But God led George Mueller that he walked by faith, and he would never tell anybody whether they had enough money or had enough food. He would just almost personally, one-handedly, exercise faith on behalf of those 2,000 children. And, you know, you can understand when I tell you this, that in his lifetime he had read the Bible more than 100 times. And it was his testimony, he said, that every time he read through the Bible, he read passages that he had light upon that he had never had before. He said, when I read the 100th time, he said, I thought, surely this time I won't find something that great in the Scriptures. And he said, the 100th time was better than the first. It just kept getting better and better and better because the truth was unfolded into his heart and it came alive in him. And that is the simplest ministry that the Holy Spirit can bring to us. And it brought it to him. And he would have all these marvelous answers to prayer, and someone said to him, how can you find enough promises in the Word of God to take care of those 2,000 children all the time? Because that was an ongoing ministry, and children would leave and there'd be more children that would come. And he always had so many that he had to exercise faith for. And he said, well, even if I only had one promise, if I only said all things are possible to him that believe it, I'd still have enough food and money and everything else for all these children that need my help. And that's true, but we have more than one promise, don't we? My, we have exceedingly great and precious promises that we can embrace and hold to ourselves. And they're ours. And there are some promises that you've embraced, and I want you to help me for just a few moments and share a promise that God has given to you along the way. Doesn't have to be yesterday or this morning. It can be times past. But who'll be first? Let's hear some.
Many times I feel I do not have a sense of the presence of the Lord or the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I rely upon that promise that He will never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
I might not sense him walking by my side, but it's written in his word that he's there.
Yeah.
And I stand on that, regardless of how I feel.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Bob. Amen. Someone else.
One that I have kept throughout the years is found in Jeremiah 15, and it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
Yeah. And what did he say they were to him? The joy and the rejoicing. That's Jeremiah's testimony. He said, do you like the word of God? Yes, Jeremiah says, it's the joy and the rejoicing of my heart.
I like that scripture from Jeremiah. It says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love,
yes,
and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's always so precious to me because his love is always there and he cares for us. And that's another verse that's been so real to me. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Yeah.
It came to me especially after my husband was gone, because he cared for a lot of things, the car and the home and the finances and so on. And then after he was gone, the Lord made that so real to me. He careth for you.
Yeah.
And it was so precious because he does care for me.
Yeah. He loves you. Yeah. Someone else.
I like the verse in Psalm 40. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us were, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare them or speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I just think it's so marvelous that God has wonderful thoughts towards us. He loves our company. He loves to be in our presence as much as we love to be in his presence.
Yeah, that's a great thought, isn't it? God's thinking about you all the time. There's never a moment he's not thinking about you. And you say, well, you got a verse for that? Yep. Bible says, thou art mindful. Mindful. He doesn't say, boy, I haven't thought about him in a long time. I wonder how Eddie's doing. Is he back there in Brooklyn or is he up at Pilgrim Camp? I wonder how he's getting along, you know. Never thinks that way. You're on his heart all the time. And the scripture says in so many other places that he's always preparing something for you. I like that. Give me some more verses.
Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee to the right hand of my righteousness.
Yes. What a promise, huh?
John 14:27, my peace I leave with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so interesting in that 14th chapter, it's the verse immediately following, isn't it? You know, the wonderful thing about that is he ties having these truths come to your remembrance. He said he's going to do it, and he says that it's like he's saying, and that'll give you great peace because the truth will keep coming back to you again and again. You see, because truth coming back to your heart warms your heart, and it brings peace to your heart. That's why when the Holy Spirit gives us a promise of encouragement or a promise of comfort, immediately having received that, the peace of God comes into our hearts, because you see, if God gave me that, then it must mean he loves me, and if he loves me, he's going to hear my prayer and he's going to help me, and I'm going to get out of whatever problem I'm in. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And all of a sudden there are scriptures that come tumbling down one upon another, and there are continued promises, and then again that miracle happens. Our hearts are warmed and we're strengthened. Someone else.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And not so many times our human nature is like a problem arise or things don't go our way, kind of go in the panic mode or oh no. And God keeps on bringing us answers. He will work in all those things for those who love him. I always ask, do I love him? Does he love him? Yes, he loves me. So, and that's what it keeps me going.
Yeah. Praise God. Someone else.
Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you. This time I came
God has made this verse so real to me. You know, it is so real that He was personally talking to me, and I will answer.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Psalm 37:5, commit thyself, thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him and His sufferings.
Yeah.
And I'm also always encouraged by the word our sister read. And sometimes people say, oh, that comes from the devil. But who am I to discern what things come from the devil and what comes from the Lord? So I'm happy to know that everything that comes into my life comes from the Lord, and that I can give thanks to Him for all things, even if they are bad and even if they might come from the devil. And I figure if I give thanks for those things, then the devil has lost out. He cannot have the victory in this area.
Yeah. Nothing good ever came from the devil. You know, he's not a good fellow. Good things come from the Lord, from the hand of the Lord. Praise God. In Isaiah says, you know, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You know that? There's a verse of scripture that boggles your mind. You know, in some cases, you know, it's the case of having an answer to prayer before you even pray. God anticipating our needs. And that isn't just like money or food or something else. It's something he's been planning to give to you, because he's always preparing good things for them that love him. And it isn't even, you can almost say only for those that love him, because he brings good things into the lives of unbelievers, because the goodness of the Lord leads people to repentance. He's always at work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Who else? Anyone else have a...
Isaiah 54:10. Mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenants of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee.
Yeah. Which Lord is it? The Lord that what?
Mercy on you.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? How much mercy? All everlasting mercies. Any more?
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In other area, I remember God said His eye is always upon us, to guide us, to watch over us.
Yeah.
And a couple days, or I think it's 2 days ago, I had some kind of remembering, like the Father had been saying. When Sister Gerda is playing the organ for that song, and Father Eddie blowing out again, since we are listening in the morning, He is so precious to me.
Yeah.
And God bring the memory as almost 30, more than 35 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, the first time I went to this kind of fellowship in Taiwan, and that meeting is held in Chinese New Year in Taipei suburban area. And I remember very clearly this song. It's sang in that meeting. And Sister Gerda is the one who prayed in the meeting, in the Chinese meeting. And that God just brought that memory to me. And every time when I sing that song, this image, this thing of that time, is so precious to me. So I remember how God led me, even in Taiwan. And I came to this country, and I still had the opportunity to meet the Lord here. Sister Gerda again prayed.
That wonderful. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart, so many wonderful things happen. And then that other part, and lean not to what? And on understanding that, that is one of the easiest things in the world to do, isn't it? To to lean on your own understanding, but to acknowledge Him in all our ways, and then He brings it to pass. Okay, one more person we'll get.
Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Isn't that wonderful? That's a great verse. Thank you for that verse. I claimed that verse this morning when I sat down at the beginning of the service. I said, "Lord, You've said You'd do a new thing. Do a new thing in me today." I like that. That's one of my favorite New Year's Day verses. A new year and a new day and a new thing from the hand of the Lord. Well, we're going to give one other person. Brother Eddie, do you have a good verse that you love?
Yes, I have one from the New Covenant promise that says, "I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more."
Right. And I like another part of that, which is repeated in a couple other places, where it says, "For mine own sake, for mine own sake." How many times does God do something, not simply because we need it? He does it because He is God, a God of love and a God of mercy, and forgives and cleanses and washes and purges and removes and blots out our sins for His own sake, because He's a God of love. Praise God. I'm going to turn the service to Pastor Eddie, but I want to encourage you, if you want to spend time waiting, but not only in our time of waiting, but during the day, if you want to read those passages in John 14 and 15 and 16, all that is a sampling. At least I want you to see it that way today, as a sampling of things that Jesus says that the Holy Spirit's going to bring to our hearts and minds. And pray in your prayer, "Lord, bring the truth back to me. Be my teacher. Be my rememberer, so that I can have the truth of Your word in my heart always." Jesus, we bow our hearts to You and thank You for these sweet testimonies and promises that You give to us. They are exceedingly precious, not only for everyone else, but they are for us, because You have given them to us and made them real in our hearts. Help us to let that be the experience for us of every part of Your word, that You will bring that truth to us in every time of need. We praise You that You will. For Your glory we ask it. Amen. Amen.